Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And by the way, quick shout out not only to all the stations who've been taking us well over 2.5 decades, but also these podcast networks also picking us up, whether it's Listen Notes or Amazon Music. Amazon Music UK, India, Italy, France, goes on and on. Also Spotify, big thank you to Spotify and Apple, of course. CRN Talk, been taking us for years. Radio network unto themselves, crntalk.com. They take us on their Channel 4. They also carry us over Roku. But without a doubt, unless my audience, you folks, were they're backing me up, none of the rest would be possible. So once again, thank you so very much. Why do Democrats keep helping the Republican midterm election hopes? They're doing it, and they're doing it by advocating for criminal illegals, resisting Trump's federal help in crime-ridden cities, and also defending former and current officials caught treasonously using federal assets to manufacture the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. They're willing to die on these hills when the odds are against them, the polls are against them. And what are they going to use as an excuse? We do so on principle. Principle of what? Counterintuitively advocating for all that is against the interests of the American people in the name of these secondary and tertiary measures used to, if you will, dodge accountability for the primary one, which is whatever laws being broken, whatever wrong was done, being the very topic of discussion. This is what we're faced with these days. What's wrong with us deporting illegal immigrants? Well, they have families. They're taking care of them. Well, so do legal immigrants, and they did it without cutting in line. So are we supposed to disincentivize future folks from obeying the law because those who violated the law have been able to subsequently come here and prosper for it? Fine, they have families, love the families. We love people who love their families. And they're taking care of them. That's great. But they're doing so after having violated the law and coming here. So we reward bad behavior because they've been able to make a success of it? I mean, we might as well let bank robbers off the hook because, after all, they invested the money wisely and subsequently generated a lot of extra employment in the country. You know, hey, I know he robbed the bank, but look how smartly he invested his ill-gotten booty after the fact. Look at all the jobs he or she or they have created. Surely that matters more than having simply robbed a bank. Come on. Just as the bad doesn't erase the good, nor does the good ever erase the bad. And if you have illegal immigrants here who might otherwise be very gracious folks, if they violated the law coming in here, and we treat them the same as those who obeyed the law coming in here, then why would anybody in the future bother obeying our laws? And the Democrats know they can't satisfy that primary measure, so they instead turn to what I call the secondary and tertiary measures. Well, yeah, but they have a family. They're otherwise a productive member of society. Those are things that take a back seat to what they've done wrong. You could be an otherwise wonderful person, but if you're pulled over for a DUI, guess what? You still have to be held accountable for that DUI. I don't care if you're sister this one, father that one, or rabbi the other. No, you still violated the law. I'm a little tired of it. I mean, whenever you hear about the ICE roundups of illegals, for instance, you also hear rabid Democrats disconnectedly shouting, "What about due process?" And Trump's policies are violating due process while tearing families apart. Firstly, there is no violation of due process, but we'll get to that in a bit. However, on the subject of tearing families apart, we got to remember that whenever anyone violates any law, the consequences will often separate the perpetrator from his family. And that being an inarguable fact, why do Democrats continue making that obviously self-invalidating claim? Why? I mean, by their imbecilic measure, you should not be arrested for DUI, robbing a store, or assaulting a neighbor. Because, after all, we shouldn't be separating families. We shouldn't be separating folks from their families. I mean, whoever advised the Democrats to embrace such a provably vacuous position? Well, you know, we're talking about due process as well. I've got to remember something. Whenever illegals are swept up in ICE raids, these Democrats are applying the always whining position of, well, they're otherwise good people. That doesn't cut it. And due process is being realized. Because, again, whenever these folks are swept up in ICE raids, that is to say the government, or government officials, or ICE members of ICE, they're applying the always legal expedited process of something known as Section 235 under the Immigration and Nationality Act. Okay, so whenever you hear about these dragnet operations at, let's say, your local Home Depot or whatever, remember, ICE is simply applying the always expedited process of Section 235 under the Immigration and Nationality Act. Now, the act was passed back in 1952. However, the expedited removal statute, this thing was added in 1996. Now, this allows the feds to expedite asylum claims in about a two-week process. You see, someone can cross the border, claim asylum, and be brought to a detention center to ensure they appear in court for a rapidly arranged asylum hearing. And once the claim is, let's say, found credible, welcome to America. Here you are. Enjoy our country. You are going to be spared from persecution, which may have been based upon their race, religion, nationality, political opinion, etc., etc. However, if they're found to have submitted a bad faith claim and were, let's say, just cutting in line, then they're eligible for immediate removal, thus having received the due process owed to them as an applying asylee. So where am I wrong in saying that the constant Democrat drumbeat of ICE is violating due process is grotesquely self-invalidating? It's unconscionable. Now, the reason we've had such a backlog of asylum applications is because the Biden administration abused the other method known as the non-expedited process, Section 240. Now, this is probably originally helpful for folks who were, let's say, genuinely thought to be credible from the start, just from people bringing them in. And perhaps these folks had family members in the States with whom they could stay until their scheduled court date, thus avoiding the detention centers. But this devolved into an escape hatch for politicized bad faith latitude. And it resulted into folks, let's say, given their notice to appear orders that were subsequently either never adhered to or were accompanied by, let's say, 5-year work permits from Biden, thus allowing the process to be stretched out for years, even beyond that 5-year work permit. I want to get back into this upon a return, but as well as a whole bunch of other issues. Thanks for joining us today, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song, Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer, Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Well, we just had a poll come out yesterday, AP polls here. 81% of people think that crime is a problem in major problem in urban areas. Trump's approval rating on crime was 54% in that poll. In the Harvard-Harris poll, it was 51%, his highest rating of any of the issues that they questioned voters about. So I think what you saw from the mayor, which she said, is a bit surprising. I think that's her responding to her constituents. She's hearing from people who are saying that, especially in the areas where crime is the worst, that they feel safer. And that's not a bad thing. Democrats have managed to box themselves in on another 80-20 issue and are trying to find a way out. And I think the mayor has recognized that, and she's obviously in the middle of it.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Over here is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach, we're listening to writer Tom Bevin, also one of the co-founders of Real Clear Politics, talking with Brett Baer of Fox News, saying they have new polls showing approval of Trump's handling of crime, and it's very, very high, and that he understands why it is D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is now more and more open to working with Trump on the city's goals of reducing crime, because clearly her own internal polling is showing that people like being able to go to a restaurant these days without having to leave their jewelry home, or even just simply having the option to go without fearing that they're going to encounter some kind of violence along the way, or carjacking. A carjacking is now down over 90%. There's been like one murder over the last, 4 weeks? Is it the longest stretch that D.C. ever had? No. But in the aggregate, when you look at the totality of crime reduction since Trump weighed in, it then becomes more and more understandable why it is that Mayor Bowser actually recently issued an executive order telling all the police to now start cooperating more fully with federal law enforcement. Because people like the declination of violence. They like the declination of carjacking. They like the declination of physical attacks, all things going down. What do you know? It's something upon which people can approve in a bipartisan fashion, even though they're going to still try to find an off-ramp of disagreement, like now they're picking on ICE, you know. But we don't like illegal immigrants being corralled. Well, and we want due process for them. Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, due process is being fully realized. Section 235 of the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1952, this expedited statute came out in 1996, and it permits due process to be fully realized. It's just that it's realized in a couple of weeks, okay, instead of being stretched out forever. That's all that's happening right now. It's perfectly valid. It is perfectly in keeping with all due process rights to which these folks are entitled. We just get to ensure that they don't hang around for years. But anyway, brings us to the big question I have, and that is, why do Democrats keep helping the Republican midterm election hopes? By advocating for crazy stuff like criminal illegals and resisting Trump's federal help in crime-ridden cities, or defending former and current officials caught treasonously using federal assets to manufacture the Trump-Russian collusion hoax. It goes on and on and on. Anyway, assisting in the opining and analyzing over the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. You've seen his editorials on fiscal policies that have appeared in publications around the country. We're talking about places like the New York Times, outlets like the Wall Street Journal. By the way, he's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before both congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks.
Always great to have you. Always great to have you. I was mentioning how Mayor Bowser fired out this, it was a few days ago, but she wrote up this executive order telling the police to now start working more in sync with the federal authorities as it relates to continuing this reduction. Yet you still got people like Governor Pritzker of Illinois and Governor Wes Moore of Maryland, each insisting that they don't need any help with their respective crime-ridden cities of Chicago and Baltimore. I mean, but just what? It's just over Labor Day weekend, there was something like 7 killings and 54 shootings beyond that. I mean, I think the numbers wound up being even higher, but just over a three-day period. And they're telling us that they don't need help. It's baffling, Tom.
Well, in D.C., where I still live, Mayor Bowser has not necessarily been the problem. It has been the city council, which has passed laws that let all these kids back out on the street to go steal more cars, which is why there's been an 87% reduction. Now they're enforcing the law a little more. They still have to let them out, but there's still more patrols. They're catching more people in the act and, you know, getting them away from what they're trying to steal. That's how it's working for now.
Now, I want to ask you about it. Let me ask you to pause there right now. But look, if we were talking about Trump visiting a city belonging to a state, I could see them not being able to have greater control over these laws. But this is a federal enclave. And despite home rule passed in 1973, if there's a law that's problematic in the district, isn't Trump able to temporarily suspend that law that lets them get away with no cash bail and that type of thing? I'm a former resident of D.C. myself. It seems to me that the fact that D.C. is a federal enclave would give the U.S. Justice Department, under the auspices of Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, greater leeway in no longer permitting no cash bail. What am I missing here, Tom?
No, under home rule, they can't do it. The president cannot change the law. Only Congress can change the law. And so it remains that those are the rules about how you prosecute crimes.
Now, I'm sorry. I don't mean overhauling the law, but having the discretion to apply it differently. I thought the D.C. Attorney General was only able to, here's an option that you had, but you weren't obliged to it. Don't they have the option of not allowing for no cash bail? I mean, I know they have the option to allow no cash bail, but are they precluded from allowing it? I mean, are they precluded from denying it, Tom?
Well, and again, the no cash bail has been for several years, not forever, but I think 2020, 2018, something like that, which is when this problem started. But the federal government cannot overturn that unless Congress does. The White House does not have the power to do that. But all that aside, what the president did exercise is that emergency 30-day power, and he may or may not be able to renew it. What Mayor Bowser was talking about, however, is more cooperation with FBI, other agencies that are law enforcement agencies, so that there can still be help after the National Guard leaves. And I think that is one of her more sensible decisions in a long time.
No. I agree with you. I agree with you on that, but I'm still scratching my head on this other issue. I understand that Trump does not have the prerogative to overturn the no cash bail law in that he can't make that law go away. I'm asking about the law itself. Isn't that law something that still provides discretion for the prosecution? In other words, it has the discretion to allow for no cash bail, but it doesn't have the obligation to provide no cash bail. Or am I mistaken there?
Honestly, I'm not sure about that, but
okay,
either
that's
way,
what we have to
they're
find
not
out.
Asking. But that's the local prosecutor's decision. And like the other blue cities, they're just not doing it and letting people out on the street. Plus, if you're under 25, I think it is, there's essentially no prosecution for anything. So unless it's murder, literally. So yeah, that's why it's been problematic. And that's why the people in D.C. have been generally welcoming of the help.
What if there's no murder, but what if there's no murder, but the culprit in focus had been involved in a shooting? You know, he was a bad shot, didn't kill anybody, but he still was using a gun. Is that also
the next day?
Oh God! You know, that is just too imbecilic to believe. It's just too crazy. Tom Schatz, if you can, buddy, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions. Listen without judgment. Lead with compassion. Let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes, an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Circle K is expanding its membership rewards program, Inner Circle, throughout the Lone Star State beginning on Wednesday, September 3rd. Free to join, customers can now become members to get fuel discounts, drink deals, and more. To celebrate, Circle K is hosting a Fuel Day pop-up on Thursday, September 4th. Customers can get 40 cents off per gallon of fuel from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time. Inner Circle members will have early access starting at 7 a.m. Members can enter their phone number at the pump or inside a checkout to access the savings. First-time members can save 25 cents per gallon of fuel on their first five fill-ups and have access to discounted drinks. Members also get personalized offers and exclusive deals throughout the year. Sign up at CircleK.com/inner-circle or enter your mobile number at checkout to enroll via text. Learn more about the Fuel Day on Thursday, September 4th at CircleK.com/TX-Fuel-Day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. So much going on, and as usual, so little time in which to delve in all that is before us. Why do Democrats keep helping the GOP midterm election hopes? How? By advocating for criminal illegals, resisting Trump's federal help in crime-ridden cities, and also defending former and current officials, by the way, caught treasonously using federal assets to manufacture the Trump-Russian collusion hoax. Everyone now knows that it was indeed a hoax. There's no grounds to assert otherwise. We've got them red-handed with communications between themselves talking about how they're going to manufacture evidence. Essentially, we've got them. We've got this on John Brennan, former CIA director. We got it with James Clapper, former director of national intelligence. And now you have current director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, former congresswoman from the great state of Hawaii, actually former senior official with the Democrat National Committee, third from the top. She's disgusted by what she has come to witness. And right now she wants to do all she can to lay bare all the facts that are growing and growing in their preponderance, showing the nefarious conduct that has been exhibited all through cloak and dagger methods, but still finally exposed. Maneuvers exhibited by officials like former DNI head James Clapper and former CIA director John Brennan. And good on her for doing this. So before we go any further, I want us to have a listen to one of those officials who obviously now in looking back, we can all see she knowingly communicated a falsehood. Knowingly communicated a falsehood. Clip 13, James, if you please.
This week we saw cold, hard evidence of the Trump campaign, indeed the Trump family, eagerly intending to collude possibly with Russia, a hostile foreign power, to influence American elections.
And we now know that's a load of crap. We now know that the FBI had their lawyers, like Kevin Kleinsmith, who deliberately doctored FISA warrant application paperwork to the FISA court to ensure that Carter Page would indeed be subjected to multiple warrants. Carter Page is a former campaign advisor to President Trump during the 2016 campaign. And they were just focusing on the fact that he had interactions with members of the Russian government. What he failed to point out, though, or what he was obscuring from his paperwork, was that the CIA prevailed upon him to do so. He was a CIA operative acting on behalf of our interests. But Kevin Kleinsmith carved that out and fraudulently doctored paperwork to ensure that because those facts would be kept from the FISA court would accordingly issue the warrants. Now, Kevin Kleinsmith was later caught. He got a slap on the wrist because it's a D.C. court area. I mean, when you've got an enclave with 90% Democrat, with a 90% Democrat voting base, then clearly people who are fellow Democrats brought to court don't have to worry about very much. Well, I'm surprised that's not a Sixth Amendment violation, wherein, you know, you're supposed to be judged by an impartial jury. It's hardly an impartial jury if they're in the tank for you from the beginning, but that's for another show. But anyway, without further ado, that has been exposed. They were caught red-handed doctoring evidence against one of Trump's people. And then, of course, all the facts flew out where James Clapper and John Brennan colluded to manufacture this Russian collusion yarn. What's going to happen with these folks? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing on front of the show, Tom Schott, sticking around. We appreciate that. President of Citizens Against Government Waste. Again, his writings have appeared in publications nationwide, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Tom, it appears that while none of us can really say for sure what sort of consequences will be visited upon these treasonous actors, at least some level of comeuppance is happening. Do we see anything more coming from these revelations, Tom Schatz?
Statute of limitations is a problem. Although there is the point about an ongoing conspiracy, ongoing activity that grew out of the conspiracy, it's complicated to try to potentially prosecute somebody who signed the letter or made these statements before Congress, but at least it's being pursued, which is helpful. And this information is getting out to the public and pointing out once again that what President Trump said was accurate and what everyone else said was made up and put forward as the truth. So we know now that they did manufacture the information that they then used to investigate President Trump and everybody else associated with this quote-unquote Russia connection.
It strikes me that these folks could only get away with the statute of limitations coming and going if they hadn't been denying that they've done what they verifiably have done all along, because as they have knowingly issued false statements on this to obstruct further inquiry, those acts in and of themselves ensure that the clock keeps ticking or is restarted. That's the discovery mode of inquiry. That discovery component is what allows the statute of limitations to not rule the day. You're essentially restarting a wrong. I mean, if you cannot benefit from an illegal act as a way to dodge accountability from an earlier illegal act. You see what I'm saying?
I do, but if you haven't said anything since you signed the letter, for example, or made a statement 8 years ago, or whatever it is at this point, then you probably can't be prosecuted because you didn't continue to say things or comment. Or.
But these guys did. That's my point. Right. These guys,
yeah,
these guys have.
Some did, some did. Yeah, you some know. Did. Some. But this is all, yeah, and it's a little bit speculative as to what they may or may not do with the Justice Department. We'll let them figure it out. But whether, again, it would, if they were prosecuted, that's fine, if they can be. But either way.
What I'm saying is this. If they were questioned about this in Congress and they verifiably have been exposed as having lied under oath, that continues the clock and all of its ticking. Where am I mistaken?
Well, again, I'm not an expert in conspiracies, all the other things, and it's been a while since I went to law school, so I'm not going to disagree with you directly, but I'm sure the Justice Department is doing everything that they can, the attorneys there, to determine if they can prosecute any of these or all these people, and that they'll move forward at this point. You know, the information has come out within the last, say, 6 weeks or so, 4 to 6 weeks, so they are really just exposing what they have found in some room where they tried to shred everything, as I recall. So now they've got it. You know, it takes a little while to put a case together. So let's see where they are in, you know, say 4 to 6 months, because it does take that long in many cases to make sure
all they would
they
have
are
to do,
putting this together.
All they would have to do is bring them forward and have them testify. And if they, you know, deny again under oath, that restarts the clock. I mean, all you need to people think, oh, I hear the word conspiracy, that therefore we can dismiss whoever might be accusing somebody else of wrongdoing because, oh, they're just indulging in conspiracy theories. A conspiracy is nothing more than a couple of people agreeing to do a wrongful act. That's all it is. You know, a couple of kids who decide to knock over a candy store are conspiring to commit a crime. That's a conspiracy. That's all it is. It's a very, very low threshold. It is not some Byzantine elaborate undertaking that has to be verifiably exposed as a Byzantine undertaking in order for it to meet the standard of the word conspiracy. Unless, of course, language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. Where am I mistaken, Tom Schatz?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, it's people getting together to decide to commit a crime the crime when they get together. So, yes, it can be ongoing. They can still be talking to each other. They could be texting, emailing, and, yes, going before Congress and repeating their falsehoods would be very helpful, to say the least, because then you'd be absolutely sure you wouldn't have an argument as to how long they have not been discussing it, because they'd be up there saying the same thing. And if they denied it, that's just as good, right? Because it would show that they were lying in the first place.
Precisely. And if they claimed the fifth, it would mean that there still exist things on which charges could be predicated, because they don't want to acknowledge things that can be shown to have happened outside the statute of limitations. So if nothing else, in the court of public opinion, they will be exposed as the culprits they are. Isn't that fair to also say, Tom Schatz?
Oh, I thought taking the fifth didn't prove anything one way or another.
but yeah, probably.
Yeah, right. That's why I said, that's why I was quick to say the court of public opinion. Yes,
yes,
I take
exactly.
Your point. Anyway, always great to have you, Tom Schatz. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new prickly pear raspberry water fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate, once again. This is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us. Lots we're getting into, lots we're covering. Why do Democrats keep helping the Republican midterm election hopes by advocating for criminal illegals, resisting Trump's federal help in crime-ridden cities, and, of course, defending former and current officials caught treasonously using federal assets to manufacture the Trump-Russian collusion hoax? Well, recently, current director of National Intelligence, the person who's ahead of all the other intelligence agencies, Tulsi Gabbard, former congresswoman from the great state of Hawaii, former highly placed person in the Democrat National Committee, she was number three in the hierarchy, Tulsi Gabbard, is exposing how we have a problem with the deep state. And she also acknowledges how some of the folks who were involved with the Trump-Russian collusion hoax were also involved in manipulating evidence to back up George W. Bush in his efforts to justify an attack in Iraq. And before I get to my illustrious guest, I want to go ahead and share this clip with you. So right now we're going to hear from Tulsi Gabbard discuss this very issue. Clip 9, James, if you please.
We look at where we are now. Over the last several weeks, we've declassified and released documents that exposed how President Obama and leaders in the intelligence community knowingly manufactured a false intelligence document after the 2016 election was done, after the American people said, no, we want Donald Trump to go and be our commander-in-chief, not Hillary Clinton. And this manufactured document alleged that Russia aspired to help President Trump win the election with the aim of undermining his presidency and usurping the will and the voices of the American people who sent Trump to the White House. You look at some of the very same leaders who led this manufactured intelligence document, like James Clapper, also had a very direct hand in manufacturing intelligence on the weapons of mass destruction, the alleged weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to support George W. Bush's regime change war in Iraq.
So she's saying that ex-DNI James Clapper is guilty of fabricating intelligence behind both the Iraq war and the Russia hoax. But she does acknowledge that a greater preponderance of this kind of activity does happen from the left, but points out that it has happened from both sides. And she, of course, refers to the deep state for having pulled this off. Now, of course, the left are constantly denying the existence of the deep state, but I don't know how they think they can get away with it. I mean, both the progressive Washington Post and Bloomberg News have reported on those comprising the deep state. So there's really no way for the left-wing zealots to credibly assert that their own publications are making it up. I mean, the Washington Post had the headline, quote, "Resistance from within. Federal workers push back against Trump." This was January 31st, 2017. Then, of course, you've got Bloomberg News. "Washington bureaucrats are quietly working to undermine Trump's agenda." Subheadline: "Across the government, career staffers are finding ways to continue old policies, sometimes just by renaming a project." This December 18th, 2017. And in between those two bookend dates, one January, one December in that year, you had both The Hill and Politico running similar stories. The Hill's headline was, "Trump White House clashes with resilient civil servants," while Politico's was, "Federal workers turn to encryption to thwart Trump. Agency employees are turning to Signal and other incognito forms of communication to express their dissent." And there's a ton of others. So only the bad faith or intellectually bereft can any longer deny that there is a government deep state that needs to be neutered and spayed. Please. Anyway, I can go on and on with this, but right now I need to get off the beaten path for just a bit. Introduce a friend of the show, Chris Talgo, senior editor and research fellow for the Stopping Socialism Project of the Heartland Institute. Chris, good to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. You're discussing this Heartland Rasmussen poll wherein 53% of young voters want a socialist to win the 2028 presidential election. Actually, 76% of them, of course, want government to nationalize major U.S. industries. But at the same time, this is all against the backdrop of the country in aggregate form rejecting socialism. This in another poll also by Rasmussen of 71%. And similar numbers can be seen by Insider Advantage and Trafalgar. These are another two that were the most accurate in predicting Trump's victory in 2024. So it seems in the aggregate, the majority of the country is against socialism, except for these gaslighted youth. Where do you see the trajectory? Because we've been hearing a lot of news about how many of the Gen Z types are actually starting to reject the left. And actually, more of them were peeled off in the direction of Donald Trump. So help me with this dichotomy.
Yes, interesting dichotomy that you speak of here, because, you know, there were a lot of polls in the 2024 general election saying that young people in particular did vote for Trump. And in our poll, they actually are pretty happy with Trump's, you know, job as president so far. I think it was 48% approve. However, at the same time, and this is, you know, a very interesting dichotomy here, almost 80% want, you know, major industries to be nationalized, and more than three quarters want a democratic socialist to be elected president in 2028. So they're kind of speaking out of both sides of their mouth here. And I can't help but wonder, I'm a former high school social studies teacher. I can't help but wonder if this is, you know, after 20 years, 30 years of these college professors, high school teachers, and even now into the middle and grade school, just indoctrinating the youth with, you know, socialist ideology, if it's starting to bear fruit. And I also do think that we need to keep in mind that a lot of these younger people grew up in the post-2008 economic crisis, you know, economy. And to be honest with you, I don't really think that they understand free market capitalism. And
That's where I think you and I are in total agreement. I think it's not that they're necessarily speaking out of both sides of their mouths. They're speaking out of two sides, but not in opposition to one another, which is what that phrase normally connotes. Mm-hmm. One side, they're happy with what's going on, which is a byproduct of robust, healthy capitalism. But at the same time, they want it to antithesis socialism. And I believe they only want it because they don't fully understand what socialism is. Socialism essentially says that in the name of providing a floor for the needy, government has a right to put a ceiling on the rest. Capitalism, conventional capitalism, is the little guy's best weapon against both an authoritarian government and the vulture capitalists who will work in tandem with the socialists to keep the people suppressed and under control. But socialists want that for more power. The vulture capitalists want that because they don't want any more competitors, which conventional capitalism can, of course, provide, because millionaires can become billionaires and they don't want that. More on this in the next hour. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.